Hi, my name is Roy Collin, and welcome to the show. I've also got Fight Podcast, The Awakening Podcast, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions, the Crypto Podcast, talking about all things blockchain, NFTs, crypto, the Meditation Podcast, talking about all different types of meditation, but there's also meditations there from 1 minute to 2 hours. And the other one's the Learn Polish Podcast. So if you're interested in learning Polish, you can do that. And the other one is Speaking with Roy Collin. And I just have guests from around the world talking about either public speaking or also about their book or just general life in general. And you find everything on bio.link/podcaster. I'm also a podcasting coach. And you see the QR code there. And it's also on my link as well. And if you're interested in actually going on some podcast shows, I'm helping people doing that. Or if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com. He helps people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. So be sure to check him out, danielpacker.com. I hope you enjoy this week's show. Welcome to the Meditation Podcast. You can find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. We're also on BitChute and YouTube and Rumble, and you find the links in the podcast description. I've also got four other podcasts, The Learn Polish, The Crypto, Speaking, and The Awakening, Exposing Fraud and Corruption, but with Solutions. And I'm a podcasting coach. You'll find everything on bio.link/podcaster. My guest today, certified wellness coach, marketing and PR professional, professional development enthusiast, Listia Putrano. Putranto.
Putranto. Yes. Putranto. Yeah, well, it's close enough. It's good.
So, welcome to the show.
But you made it sound Italian, so I like that. Most people thought that it was Italian because of the vowels. So, there you go.
Oh, brilliant. So, you might let the listeners know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, as you said, I'm a certified wellness coach. What makes my wellness coaching different is that it's holistic wellness. If you probably have like research about wellness coaching, about 90-95% of coaches out there who are wellness coaches, they tend to focus on physical wellness, whereas I try to be as holistic or as well-rounded as possible. So this includes mental wellness other than physical, of course. And then there's emotional wellness, situational wellness or environmental wellness, financial wellness, spiritual wellness. And of course, like, you know, in terms of spiritual wellness and emotional wellness, even mental wellness, meditation is a big part of it, right? And I myself have been practicing meditation for over a decade, though it wasn't until 2016 that I made it into a daily habit, basically. And since then, I probably have, kept up a daily habit of meditation. I think like every day, probably at least 20 minutes, and it has really changed my life. And it sounds a little bit bombastic, but I truly believe that it has changed my life because it's just a powerful powerful habit that enables you to ground yourself. And that's where this comes into play. You know, you'd introduce me to a meditation app, and I thought that, you know what, it's a great way to raise awareness about meditation. And as I said, I do use it in a lot of my coaching. I suggest it to a lot of my coaches or mentees even, because I do that as a marketer in a travel wellness company, where I also promote meditation and its benefits to my team members. And it has been proven very effective for most people. So a lot of people think that meditation is just, you know, sitting down and being quiet and having no thoughts, which is not true whatsoever. So thank you so much for, you know, having me on board here, so, and sharing my journey as well as hopefully tips that would enable people to cultivate their own habits.
Yeah, no problem. And like with clients that kind of say then, I can't meditate, I've tried it, I presume you've come across situations like that.
Sorry, Roy, but it was like a little bit laggy.
Yeah, so no problem. So what I was saying is that like with the clients that basically would say, oh, I don't get meditation, I've tried it once, what would you be telling them to try to get them on board?
You know what? Well, first of all, I would always tell them that even people who have meditated regularly for years, it's never quietness, if that makes sense, because there's this misconception that if you're in meditation, then you really have to have no thoughts whatsoever. Your mind has to be clear, it has to be peaceful, which is not true because thoughts, it will come and go. So at least like give yourself compassion for that and try it for an extended amount of time. And I'm talking about like maybe 3 weeks regularly, you know, if not daily. And then also the fact that most people think by the meditation, you have to stay still. Whereas meditation could be everything, actually. It's just basically as much as possible silencing and calming down the mind. So it could be active meditation, like walking, for example, in nature, preferably, without headphones on, obviously. But if you want to listen to nature sounds, for example, that also works out. Like if you're in the middle of the city, for example. But it could also be like Qigong or Tai Chi, you know, and again, like I think somebody even says that for them, like exercising could also be a form of meditation. When you're like focused and you just singularly focus on that one thing, that can be a form of meditation. And some people even think like the driving is a form of meditation. Some people think it's prayers. So I think like for us to not limit what meditation is supposed to be is the best way to cultivate it because you'll be kinder to yourself instead of expecting it to be this ideal Buddhist monk type of practice where like realistically 0.001% actually meditates that way, you know? And of course there are people who would go to Vipassana, like 11-day silent Vipassana meditation retreat, for example, and they get a lot out of it, but I wouldn't recommend that for beginners, for example. That's a huge leap, right? So I feel that consistency and compassion for yourself and how to cultivate new habits, because cultivating any habit is difficult, especially if something that is definitely not in your comfort zone, right? Like for me, I love to talk, as you can tell. And my mode of default mode is actually speed. I do everything fast. And that's actually why I started meditation because, you know, what's happening in here is 1,000 times as fast as what's coming out. So by doing that, I'm able to pace my thoughts a little bit more, being more present and focused. I think like the whole point of meditation is just being here, in the present, being in your body, and really just listening to your breathing and the fact that you're alive right now, and just focusing solely on that moment, and then take it from there.
And I think just on my own journey that sometimes, like I know that sometimes I'd want to go in and meditate, and then somebody's disturbed me, or even out in the garden, and I was listening to the cars, and I was like, I prefer if there was no cars. And instead of then I've realized that's not, I'm not present. You know, I'm just trying to find a state, and then I got out of that, and now it's like nothing affects me. But I know that you go through that kind of journey as well when you're trying to be in
Yes.
meditation. You just want nobody to disturb you. But the reality
Of
is,
course.
there's always going to be something going on in
Of
there.
course. Of course. And that's actually like how you sharpen or made it more solid as you go throughout the day. You know, there's always going to be distractions. And as you practice it, the more that it's not going to affect you as much. And it's going to be so valuable, especially like say, like, you know, you're having a hectic day at the office. It's a really awesome grounding practice that you literally can do anywhere. It doesn't require any tools, you know. And if you're consistent enough, you can actually take like a minute and just be, you know, take your attention back from that hecticness or chaos and literally be a different person. After that minute, because you're coming out of it really like present and like knowing that you're okay, that no matter what is happening in front of you, you are grounded, you know, because again, like we can't control anything that is happening around us, you know, as much as we want to, like the cats, the weather, whatever, you know, people usually, you know, we can't control any of that. All we can control is ourselves and how we perceive things and how we react to things, you know, because life is not happening. Sorry, love is not about like what is happening to you. It's about how you react to it and how you best react to it, actually. Respond, I guess, would be the better word because react is just basically going into your emotions and reacting accordingly, but responding, that's where it's hard because it literally is going out of body and just stepping out of your body for a bit and, stepping out from the circumstance and know that, okay, like I'm more than the situation. I know that whatever is in front of me, I can tackle. And you do it in a calm manner. Even when somebody's shouting at you for example, you know that it's not about you. It's that like higher level of awareness where you're kind of like, several steps forward in comparison to the person in front of you. And that usually works out a lot better than if you were to react to the situation, because chances are you're going to escalate it. Either you panic or you cry or like you maybe curse back at that person if you're having an altercation, and meditation is, at least in my experience, has really helped me with that. Because to be honest, I used to have, well, I still do, I think I just have better in check because of practices such as meditation. I'm able to better ground myself. But yeah, like that quick to react and just tit for tat, for example, if you're in an altercation, it never helps anyone. And more often than not, you always regret what you said or what you did. So yeah, it really is a powerful, yet very much accessible and very much universal, because no matter who you are, what age, even kids could do this, even all the elderly, because it doesn't require any tools or physical strength or anything like that. As long as you're still breathing, you can meditate.
Exactly. So you've mentioned about kind of helping people with financial as well, like with the coaching and just talk them through. And I know you have a fantastic blog, but it's like conscious spending as well, because like
Thank you.
around the world, everything now we're being bombarded. It's intentional, I know, just from different things I'm exposing, but everyone's bills are going through the roof. Their interest rates are going through the roof. Their utility bills, the food has gone double and in triple in some situations. So how, like, what kind of advice could you give people? Because it's a difficult time for the last few years, and it looks like for the coming years as well.
Well, I think finances are a lot of what people struggle with, right? Because we've been told since we were kids, money don't grow on trees. It's hard. You had to work hard for money and all that stuff. But the thing is, we've talked about this before, Roy, everything is energy, and so is money. Because the reality is, money is just a piece of paper, right? It's the value that we put into it that makes it valuable. Previously, like even salt is more expensive, it's more valuable,
And
so it
tulips in
all
Holland
depends.
around the
Yeah,
1600s, yeah.
exactly. So it really is just a thing, but it's a lot about mentality, because this is where like a lot of people, even like the practice of gratitude. I know a lot of people who are very cynical and they're like, gratitude, what is that? And for me, at least, like that's even when I'm like in a difficult financial situation, there's always something to be grateful for. And in order for us to attract something different, we have to be in a different frequency than we attract that issue, if that makes sense. Because again, everything is energy, right? Even our problems, even as the state of the world. But again, like we can't affect this the what's happening outside of us, but we can certainly do what we can to protect our energy and also elevate our energy. And that's the what I try to help people with, to focus on what we already have instead of focusing so much on the problem. Because when we are able to be in that state of gratitude, we increase our vibrations, our frequency, right? And we're able to think a little bit more clearly, because chances are we know what to do. Our inner guides, our inner selves know already what we can do in order for us to better our financial situation and any situation, basically. We already have it within us. So for example, if we overspend in certain areas of our lives, like for example, streaming, maybe we have a lot of subscription. You don't know that until you really take a step back. And again, that takes a level of awareness that you're not in a panic, thinking about like the bills that are coming, but instead you take a step back and then you see, okay, like this is where my situation is without putting emotions into it, which is the hard part. That's where meditation helps. Because when you put emotion into it, again, you react rather than respond. But if you're able to look at, okay, this is what I'm making right now, and this is my bills for months, you know, for this month, or usually like these are like my spendings for a certain amount of period. And then you see what you can do in order to level it out a little bit. Or maybe like you find ways to increase your income, whether it's to, you know, take up another job, a side hustle, choose a different job, you know, but at the same time, it has to come from an inspired place instead of just taking a job for the sake of the money, because chances are you're going to be miserable. And a lot of the times, so we always think like, oh, if I make this much money, I'll be okay. That's never true. If you're in, still in the same mindset, that is, because you're gonna spend more than you make each time you make more. Does that make sense? So understanding where your habits are, and as you said, conscious spending, like what is it that really I need in this world? What do I value? Again, core values is really important too. Like, do you spend your money most on the things that you value? You know, if you don't know your core values, you're probably just going to be spending for the sake of spending, or what you're spending for the sake of impressing other people. You know, or what society deems as valuable. So, for example, you end up like, you know, going out a lot to eat, when in fact, if you cut that down a little bit, you're actually going to save a lot of money, and you're going to be able to set aside a little bit more money each month in comparison than if you were to go out all the time. Does that make sense? Or like, you know, you do you really need that upgrade for the next iPhone?
Oh,
You know,
exactly,
when
Lynn.
literally, do you know what I mean? Like it's keeping up with the Joneses. It's yes, for that, it's like it's immediate gratification, but it doesn't last very long. Stuff don't give us that immediate, you know, that like long lasting gratification. For me, anyways, I'd rather do experiences. And for a lot of the times, they're like relatively inexpensive. Of course, you can have like a splurge in terms of experiences, but they're well, like, you know, spending time with family, talking, having wholesome conversations, reading, you know, especially nowadays where you can pretty much like get anything, like learn anything at your fingertips for free. You know, you literally could get courses from top universities. Of course, it's nowhere like in terms of prestige in comparison to the actual degree. But you see what I'm saying? Like when you understand what you value most and you are able to take a step back and then really like evaluate, okay, what is it that I'm spending on and what is it that I value most? You're able to cut down those expenses that don't really resonate with you so much. And you'd be surprised as much how much you're spending mindlessly. But you know, that's a good start, like, you know, conscious spending. And then the next part will be, okay, if I want to save more, get more, what can I do in order to attract that new opportunity that actually resonates with me? You know, as opposed to just leaving a job for the sake of getting more money. Because what good is money if you're miserable? You know, if you have to do something that you don't love. So again, like, yes, there's financial wellness, and but you have to understand that there's also other kind of wellness that comes into occupational wellness, because when you spend your days doing something that you love, that in itself also pays in dividends, you know, because you never know how, like, what other opportunities will come unexpectedly, because simply you're doing what you love and it really shows. And again, everything is energy. So you're attracting opportunities, and usually it's lucrative, you know, if you don't have that limiting belief that, oh, I can't be paid for my artwork, for example. You know, you have to also like siphon that out. But for like in my own experience, for example, I took up calligraphy when I was 12, 13 in 8th grade, just for like a hobby, you know, extracurricular activity. when I was like 25 or something like that, I ended up being hired for a world-class gig for the World Expo in in Shanghai by the US Pro Call team. Essentially it's a state gala. So I was a calligrapher for them. And it was just so weird to me because I have no credentials whatsoever, you know, and yet that happened. It's very serendipitous. That's what I'm talking about. Like you have to be in a certain frequency where you're attracting those and be aware of those opportunities, you know, because when you're chasing something, chances are it's always elusive. You know, you're never, because you're not doing it mindfully. You're not doing it from an inspired place. I hope that answered your
No,
questions.
absolutely.
It's a long answer.
No, but it's excellent. It's a fantastic answer. And I mean, I've seen
Thank you.
both sides of the spectrum there, because there's a few friends
Yeah.
I've got, and their energy is they just talk, they just do everything for them is just money. While I don't see kind of everything else in their life is actually aligned, you know, that there's a kind of ego and stuff like that. And then on the other side, most people are actually afraid to even talk about it or just put it on the table and go, I'm spending X, I'm earning Y. What skill set have I got? How can I do it? And like by thinking, because they look at the bill, they just think of lack of, so they attract lack of.
Yes,
And you know, it's the
exactly.
mindset thing.
Exactly. It's the abundance mindset versus lack mindset. And a lot of people don't understand that because like if you know, thoughts are things, right? It's energy too. And when people say, and we say, like, this has been like thousands of years, maybe like hundreds. Okay, maybe I'm like over exaggerating a little bit, but it's been known. The greatest minds already know this. Like, your thoughts create your reality, you know. And if you only focus on more like bills and what you don't have, chances are you're going to have more of that in your life because you're not even seeing the things that you already have. And for me, like, on days where it's a little bit more difficult because maybe like you're sick or you're getting very little sleep or whatever, and things just seem to be not going your way. The best thing to do is really look at the basics. Like you've got a bed, you've got a roof over your head, electricity, you know, and running water. When in fact, like millions of people, hundreds of millions of people in this world don't really have all of those, you know, because what you take for granted. So many people are praying for, even just like clean water, you know, electricity, internet, you know, it's something that we don't really think about, and that's where gratitude comes in, you know, and the fact that you were just alive, and people think like miracles are these like grandeur things, right? That has to be like, I don't know, like you're seeing a white light and then it opens a portal, sort of thing like that. But in fact, like each one of us are miracles because, like, what are the odds of us being born in this planet when, like, you know, the probability is very small if you think about it. And yet we're here we are. So if we think of ourselves already as miracles, you know, and then miracles is really like in the eye of the beholder too, because there's a lot of miracles actually happening. Like the internet, for example, we don't see it and yet we believe it. All of us, we use it. You know, we don't necessarily understand exactly how electricity works, and yet we are like, okay, we all benefit from it. And, you know, we believe in it. Why not believe in the fact that your thoughts create your reality? You know, and that's why, like, you know, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, you know, and that's a saying, yes, of course, you know, there are, you know, anomalies and there are outliers and whatnot. But for the most part, the reason why we have these like cliches is because for the most part, they're true. Yeah.
Brilliant. And I suppose this kind of comes in line as well. It's something else that was in your blog, which I liked, but it's kind of because you mentioned that you were traveling a lot, moving places. And I've done the same. And every time it's like I felt so much better by kind of being minimalistic, kind of reducing things that I don't need. The one thing is the books.
Yes.
I don't feel like getting rid of my books, and I should really. But I think by being minimalistic, you're kind of clearing your space. You're feeling better, which in turn costs you less and gives you more experiences in life with the disposable income that you've got.
Exactly. And I think like a lot more people are doing that now. Like they're like selling their house, their apartment, whatever, and then like they're uprooting, going to Thailand, Morocco, whatever that is less expensive in terms of a living cost wise. And they are understanding that, like, you know what, it's about the experiences. It's not necessarily, of course, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have houses. Of course we should, and we should. But it all depends on the intention too. Are you just hoarding it for the sake of hoarding it and prestige and competition, you know? Or are you really like, oh, I want a really big house because I want to house all of my relatives, you know? Or I want to like have a shelter within it or something like that. I think the intention is really important. And yeah, I come to find out, like, of course, like I've had that stage where, you know, you just want the glitz and the glamour and all that stuff. But the thing is, it's very fleeting. And I think it's important for us to have our own journeys. And I'm very fortunate that I've had my own journey. And I see like a lot of people who are actually affluent, they're not necessarily the happiest, to be honest. Like, you know, I mean, because again, like they're able to attract money, you know, they're able to work on it, but they're not necessarily genuinely happy. Whereas when I was working for a nonprofit organization, and I mean, like these people are not like poor by any means or anything like that. They're expats. But at the same time, they were just like, you know, so I don't know. I was like flabbergasted as to how selfless one could be. And of course, like to a certain amount, you can only give to other people in a healthy manner when you already have enough, right? You can't really, you know, because otherwise you'd be a martyr. And that's not good for anyone, actually. You have to have full cup beforehand. But I was looking at these people and they're actually genuinely happy because they know that they make a difference in this life. And I know, like, for me, I try to think about like my life and see like, okay, this is a little bit morbid, but I look at, okay, like if I were in my deathbed, what would I regret? What would I want to my life to be like, you know? What would my life mean is what it is, you know? And I think like if you can inspire the people to do the same and not force them, because I think like the best way to inspire people is to lead by example, because you can hammer down all the, you know, the advice and suggestions and preach all you want, but if you can't walk the talk, people are not going to listen to you, at least without being resentful, because they're just going to think like, oh, but you do this, so what are you talking about? Like you're telling people to do other things when you yourself are essentially being a hypocrite, right? So I try to do my best to lead by example. I don't try to preach, and that's why I love coaching, because everybody has their ways. So what works for me does not necessarily work for others. And what we do is we just be this facilitator, or like a sounding board and asking the right questions so that, as I said, we all actually already know the answer to our problems. We all do. But maybe like, you know, society says otherwise or parents say otherwise. And so a lot of growing up or getting older is actually like rewiring our brain and unlearning the things that we learned, you know, whether it was like consciously or unconsciously, throughout our childhood or, you know, friends or whatever, you know, and as we do that, we come to find our true self. And as I said, core values is really important for us to define what it is, like the top things that we can not absolutely do without. Like for me, it's like integrity, love, and then joy, actually. Like for me, like I have to have fun in everything that I do as much as possible. If it's not fun, then I hate admin tasks, for example, but I try to infuse fun to it by, like, you know, listening to music or whatever, you know, I reward myself. Do you know what I mean? So like joy is very, very important to me. So like, because for me, like if I were to do something, especially when people are talking about their jobs, because we on average spend a third of our lives working, doesn't it make sense to do something that you actually like enjoy and actually derive joy from, you know? And I understand, of course, certain circumstances you just have to pay the bills, and that's okay, you know. But hopefully, for the most part, that would be like a certain period of time instead of, and then you try to change it around, right? But for most of us, we have the privilege of choosing what we want to do. So, you know, why not do something that actually makes you feel as if you don't have to escape your life or just live for the weekends? You know, I was just talking about this with somebody too. I was like, you know, previously I was in a PR firm, an agency, and I can totally relate as to like living for the weekend, you know. But now, you know, Monday is Monday, it's just any other day, you know. And Friday, yeah, of course, I get like really excited about it, but at the same time, it's just like, okay, you know, it's just any other day. That's wonderful, you know. So yeah, I think like that's what it is. Of course, I love to travel, I love to escape, and especially during COVID, when people can't, you know, they have to really look at themselves and they're like, okay, am I doing this out of joy or is it escapism? You know, and I think like one of the things that I like had to really think about is just like, huh, okay, well, I can't really, you know, do a lot right now. What can I do that I can do right now? Because time became abundant, right? Like, you know, for most of us during COVID, that was a valuable thing. I think for me, actually, like I always say that the most valuable thing that I have is my time, because literally, like, you're getting a piece of my life. You know, if you don't think that that is not valuable, like, I mean, not just me, like any human beings here. And I think like time is a level playing field where you can be the pauper or you can be the king of England. Everybody gets 24 hours in a day, not a minute more and not a minute less, you know. But it all depends on what you do with it. And if you treat it as priceless, then it just makes sense that if you spend your days at work, it should be something that you enjoy. You know, it should be something that you drive joy from. And that's where occupational wellness comes in. But then it's also interrelated to your physical, because if you're stressed at work, of course, your physical wellness would probably be bad. You know, so is your emotional wellness. So is your mental wellness, right? Because a lot of stress. And so, yeah, it's all interrelated, really. But it's just that most people, unfortunately, just focus on the physical at the moment. But I think we're getting to a place where more and more people are understanding, especially when it comes to mental health, that is super important, you know, if not more important than physical health, because our mindset is everything. If, like, for example, I tend to get better from illnesses. Well, I rarely get sick anyways, but when I get sick, they just having an upbeat thought about it. Because if you think, well, why do I become sick? And, you know, instead of thinking that, maybe like think of it as like, hey, this is a signal for your body to rest. This means that you should slow down. Use this time to slow down. Honor your body, you know, make better choices. Use it to reflect, use it to sleep, use it, you know, to, and also like when that happens, you appreciate your health more. You know, because like when you're right, like when you're having a cold, for example, and your nose is blocked up and you can't sleep well, oh my gosh, like just breathing from your nose becomes such a gift. You realize that because, like, you know, that when you lose something, it's the opportunity to be really grateful about it. It like the value of that thing becomes more visible to us, you know. So even the bad things, you know, whatever it is, actually could be a blessing. It's all how you look at it.
Absolutely. And like I know that on your blog as well, and it's something that I because I've got my like songs, but you've got kind of, you know, feel good now, because we get curveballs all the time. And to have a kind of playlist of 10 songs, 5 songs or whatever that are positive and upbeat when you are having a blues moment, just listen to that. And I think it's a fantastic thing, and everybody should do it. And I thank you for actually having that, because there's a lot of the songs that you have that I went, oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. So I actually created that this morning, and I was like, this is actually brilliant.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I have an eclectic taste, actually, unless it's like death metal or like super hard rock, like country, you know. I love classical, and again, like they all have, Because everything again is energy, right? So whatever like that artist puts into it, also you can feel it in the lyrics and the tone and all that stuff, And yeah, I think like music is one of the best ways to turn your days around when you feel less than grateful. Just put something on and also move, get moving. I know that I like sometimes just have like a dance party to like myself and just like get moving. And again, like that's also kind of like meditation because it helps you to be back in your body. Don't, instead of like thinking a mile a minute, you ended up like just being in the body and just like, be free flowing and all that stuff. And it also makes you less serious about life. I don't know if you like Ferris Bueller, but it's literally true, right? Like, don't take life so seriously because no one gets left alive, which is true, right? So I have no problem making fun of myself, and that's why I could probably talk to anyone. People are just like, yesterday my team member, I told my team member who left, it was like, oh, like the boss is shy and he's more reserved. So I told him, I was like, okay, so. He's like the opposite of me, and another team member was just like, well, Listia, you're the shyest person alive. And I'm like, because I'm like known as a talkative one. I'm loud, even though I'm tiny, but I own it. And I think like it's okay that comes to the also like when you don't take yourself so seriously, not that you don't honor yourself, because that's a different. Of course, you're like, we're all divine beings, we're all wonderful, and we're all miracles, right? But if we can c accept our flaws, nobody could use us that against us, or perceived flaws, because I don't think like being loud is so necessarily a bad thing. Of course, there's all these circumstances, and I can be quiet on those times. But I think like, yeah, like that's again. Meditation also helps you to be self-aware, to not only accept your strength, but also be okay with your weakness, whatever it is. Because like no one's perfect. No one should be perfect either. Do you know what I mean? That's like perfection is not the whole point why we're here. Like the point is progress, like for us to learn and become the better version of ourselves until our deathbed. And for me, like, just to make fun of myself a little bit. So my humor is kind of like self-deprecating sometimes, and it's okay because again, like it doesn't what is that? Like it doesn't go against my self-worth. If anything, like because I'm able to own my flaws, as I said, no one can really take use it against me. But at the same time, and hopefully, I actually have had people talk to me before that because I do that. They are able to be more accepting of their flaws because no one's perfect. And, and we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves when we make mistakes. Like again, like the cultivating meditation habits, like most people are just like, I can't do this after three tries, I'm just not good at this, which is not true. It's just that you haven't, found your rhythm yet. You haven't found something that works for you yet.
Brilliant. Listen, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And I know you're thoroughly
Yay.
busy. You've got a load of clients and everything. So you might let me know where they find you. And also, how about the name, your blog, where it came from? What's it about?
Okay, so fleur de lis is actually a symbol, a French like symbol. Apparently, it's for royalty. I didn't even know that. Way back when, I think they still use it as like a emblem for certain monarchies or something like that. But I grew up in New York and my parents absolutely love antiques. And of course, like, with antiques, there's a lot of those uses of a fleur-de-lis. And I've always been drawn to that like symbol. I really like it. And then of course that has a two meanings because it's Liz's flower in French, but unfortunately the LYS fleur de lis, like the actual pronounce sorry spelling or the fleur de LIS has been taken. So my family's nickname is for me is Liz. So I was like, okay, I'm just gonna put a Z instead of an S. So that's where it's come from. So there's two meanings, and that's why like the symbol for the coaching business is a fleur-de-lis. But at the same time, it's I love flowers, so you see a lot of flowers on my website as well. So it has two meanings actually. And I feel like flowers is like something beautiful that you share with people, right? So essentially, like hopefully what I share on my website, on my blog is something that it's kind of like a flower that I give to other people, and share it with other people, because I think like, especially like during COVID, that's when things really picked up. Actually, people need that type of information. I know there's plenty out there, but for some reason, they ended up in my blog. So that's actually what how I got more active with it, because for a while I didn't really put too much effort into it. But yeah, ever since then, I was like, okay, like, this is something that people actually need, and it's probably my way of helping others, even if I don't know them. I think that that's the best way to make an impact, no matter if you find out about it or not.
And
Yes.
is that the best
And
way to get you? Is there other handles?
yes, sorry. Yeah, I'm not much for social media, so that's probably the best way to reach me. So you could like there's book a discovery call, which is completely free, and you could like just email me and say like I'm interested in doing a discovery call, and also like there's message boxes there too. So in short, yes, the website fleur-de-lis.com is the best way to reach me.
Perfect. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. I'll make sure I'll put the link both in the
Yeah, me
audio and
too.
the
Thank
video.
you.
No problem. So,
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Roy.
no
Have a
problem
good
at all.
one.
You too. So that's all for the meditation podcast. You'll find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. As mentioned, we're on BitChute, YouTube, and Rumble. You'll find the links in the podcast description. And on my four other podcasts, along with the coaching bio.link/podcaster. Sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, share with your friends. Until next week, take care. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, and share with your friends. And you'll find all my shows with the QR code or bio.link/podcaster, as well as my podcast coaching. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, danielpacker.com, helping people with anxiety, stress, and addictions. He's got a 90% success rate, and you only pay if you're successful. Also, if you'd like to go on a podcasting tour, I can help you do that. And if you're interested in sponsorship, you can contact me on my bio.link/podcaster. Until next week, take care.